Now, we're in the middle of a pandemic, not the best time, I suppose, to try and start fundraising, but sometimes you've no choice. Our next guest is trying to get a Daisy Lodge built in Mayo, and in order to do that, he has to raise 12.5 million. But he's a man who's determined to get it done, and his name is Mark Fagan. How are you doing, Mark?
Ray, how are you?
Not too bad. Now, we've a bit of a delay on the line, so be aware of that. It might interrupt the flow of our chat a little bit, but we'll soldier on. Okay.
Okay.
So first of all, tell us about Daisy Lodge and the service they provide up in the north of Ireland and in the UK.
Yeah, so Daisy Lodge is a unique facility in that it provides probably respite services for families who are going through the battle of cancer with their children. So it's something that's slightly different in that we have a lot of charities where you would have a lot of people coming together. Where Daisy Lodge is almost like getting a five-star experience, but tailored towards families who are looking for respite, looking for oxygen to continue to fight. Okay. It's one of those places where you go in and you're immediately spoiled for choice in terms of what they can offer to you. And that comes obviously in a period where, you know, you're probably going through hospital after hospital, clinic after clinic. So to get that break into a totally different environment can be something that's essential for us.
So it's respite for the whole family.
Yeah, it's when you get a diagnosis of cancer in your family, it impacts on everybody. And obviously with children, typically they would have siblings. So in my own case, for example, we had three boys. And when we talk about lockdown, we're kind of in lockdown for a long, long time, in that when you're going through treatment, you're very restricted in terms of where you can go. You have to plan everything in case there's a complication,
an infection,
with the child who's undergoing treatment. So being able to travel somewhere is very, very difficult. So in our own case, for example, we were many years without being able to go really anywhere. But going to somewhere like Daisy Lodge, as I said, they're prepared for all of the complications you can have, so that you can totally relax in that environment, which, as I said, is very rare when you're in the fight.
Okay, let's talk about your story then. So, four boys, but only two alive. It's dark, isn't it, when it's said like that? So Pablo was born 17 years ago, and he died when he was 5 days old. And then you'd Gavin and Oscar. And then Danny came along in 2010. Mm-hmm. And Danny was fine for the first 5 years of his life?
Oh, absolutely perfect. He was probably the most sporty of all the guys, all the lads. In fact, he just started minis rugby in Barn Hall here down in town. He was full of life, totally active. He was interested in everything that came his way, whether you know that was gymnastics or rugby or Lego, Star Wars, the typical stuff that any 5 year old would ever be into. And as I said, just literally overnight, all that stopped, and we began a journey that was obviously something that no parent wants to begin.
So he'd a bloated stomach. Was that it?
Yeah, we noticed, again, he was 5 years of age, and typical, you know, kids of age would be a little bit pot-bellied. But my wife, Maria, as mothers do, sort of had a feeling, and she noticed that his tummy wasn't really coming down as he was getting taller. And I think one day, probably in early March 2016, she said, "Would you not see it looks a little bit asymmetrical, that the right-hand side looked to be slightly larger than the left?" So look, we decided to go to GP. There was a couple of weeks beforehand, we noticed he was beginning to wake up at night with pain. Around the same time, around midnight, every single night he would wake up and sort of grimace with pain, to the extent we'd take him in beside us. And now we know that, unfortunately, what that was he was actually turning over, and the tumour that was there had grown to a level where it was actually beginning to cause him pain. So we went to the GP, not knowing this, of course. And she basically had a suspicion, asked to go to A&E, but not to panic to go the next day. I was actually at work when that came from the GP. Obviously, I dropped everything and got him to A&E very quickly. And the diagnosis came pretty quickly after that, literally the next day.
Wilms tumor. It's a form of kidney cancer.
Yeah.
But are both Maria's parents doctors or?
Yeah, her mum is. Her dad's an architect, actually. But her mum's side and her mum's Maria's stepfather also was a cardiologist.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So we had sort of inside information.
Was that inside information telling you?
It was telling us when they said right-hand side and a very large mass, the chances were that it was going to be Wilms, which it turned out to be. And strangely, Ray, that was probably the happiest day of my life when we got that diagnosis, which sounds very strange, but if you had to choose a cancer for your child, which one will ever face with, but if you had to choose it, you would actually choose Wilms. It's got a really high percentage of survivability. It's in the 90s.
Right.
So when we got that diagnosis and we were sort of prepped for that, it was almost a cause for celebration. And you know, the treatments we got through that period all were positive. The cancer or the chemotherapy worked extremely well. His tumor reacted better than he expected. It reduced to a level where they could then remove it. And again, Wilms generally is very positive because you basically take the kidney and the tumor together and you're done. But unfortunately with Danny, the tumor had actually grown outside the kidney and it attached itself to the vena cava, one of the main blood vessels. So you can't really cut into it. You know, you can't cut into the vena cava. You would, as we were told, you would probably leave the child on the table. There was a literally less than a millimeter was left of the tumor after the first treatment. And again, we believe with chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and the team were confident that we would get through it, which is what happened. We had 6 months of chemo and radiotherapy and Luke's as well. This is all through Crumlin, I should say, through St. John's, amazing people. Dr. Michael Capra was, you know, a god for us, to be perfectly frank.
We
got through it.
To all of this, little Danny, how do you communicate this to a child of that age?
As honestly as you possibly can. Danny was very inquisitive, curious, intelligent child who wanted to understand everything. So the first thing we were told was don't be afraid to use the word cancer. And even in the school, when he was back in school, we always talked about cancer. So we were very open. We began to obviously use, you know, the lump. Let's get rid of the lump. So he always knew what was there. I don't think he ever really knew how serious it was. But as I said, everything as we were in the early days were positive. Now it was very tough. We had some really, really, really tough days, but it was always on a trend towards positivity. It was always on a let's get a cure. We're going to beat this. And again, being frank, watching him and watching any child that goes through this, and I'm sure there's, you know, lots of your listeners have gone through similar things with their children in terms of illnesses. The cliched resilience that children have to bounce back that they have is just, it's a lesson to us all. Like that Danny literally would be extremely ill from treatment and a day later he's out kicking a football. There was no sitting around, there was no feeling sorry for himself, there was no bitterness, there was no why me. It was all just get on with it. And you know, he helped us as much as we helped him through it, to be frank.
So autumn 2018, they were talking about targeted treatment, and then Danny took a turn for the worst over Christmas that year, did he?
Yeah, we got to the stage, on a couple of stages, where he was in remission, and literally within 6 weeks of stopping it, we thought we were in the all clear, we were in remission, those great words were being used, and then the very first scan as an outpatient, and it was coming back. So we went through three cycles of thinking we got it and it came back. But then in autumn of 2018, really they were running out of options, and we were looking or hoping for a targeted treatment. There was a it then metastasized into his lungs. So a sample of the tumor was sent to Paris, and we were hoping, and it was really literally our last throw of the dice that he would get through that. But it wasn't to happen, unfortunately.
Like, I can't imagine what it's like. I just can't imagine. And Daisy Lodge, at what stage did you go up to Newcastle and County Down and use the facilities of Daisy Lodge?
We went the first time when he was on the road to recovery, or we thought he was on the road to recovery, and it was the first time in a year that we said we were able to have a holiday. So it was important for his brothers as well that we could do something as a family, because we, in essence, separated. We had to separate from each other. I was either in the hospital and Marie was at home, or vice versa, or even when we tried to organise holidays for the guys, we'd have to send them off. So there was this, you know, a rift in the family that that had to be sort of looked after. And Daisy Lodge stepped in there. So the first time we went to them, it was great because it was something we could enjoy as a family. And it's very discreet. It's very tailored to yourself. It's low scale. And as I said, it was amazing to give us the oxygen to continue that fight. We had 2 days up there, 3 days up in Newcastle, in Antrim. And we'll never forget it. Again, we went back the second time when Danny wasn't so good. It was literally probably 6 weeks before he died. And his memories of being there before cheered him up no end. And I really believe it probably bought him another week just living off those memories.
And what is it about it? Is it that it's sort of normal and yet all the medical support is there so you can relax? It reminds me a bit of Barrettstown, but for families and probably on a smaller scale.
Yeah, but Barrettstown is really, it's much larger scale. Yeah. It's more about group activities, and there's a celebration. Right. Barrettstown is fantastic. We were lucky enough to be there. Daisy Lodge is more about, as I said, respite. You're probably going in at a different, you're probably mid-fight or mid-journey of treatment.
Okay.
So that they have to be a little bit more careful with the children, risk of infection. So obviously the amount of people they can look after is smaller, probably up 6, 7, 8 families maximum at a time. And he would have a large amount of staff. And it's also, where Barrettstown is more of a sort of camp feel, Daisy Lodge is more of a 5-star hotel, luxury feel, Swiss cottage type of thing.
Nice.
Where every whim is looked after. It's incredible. Like, literally, you know, you can get your hair done. Massages for the parents, activities for the kids. But what's also very important is they can leave you alone, and you just know they're there. Like simple little things. Danny talked about was 10 o'clock at night being able to dial down and get, you know, chocolate and toast sent up to him, and they literally would be there. So it was a real taste of that 5-star treatment. It was an incredible experience.
So poor little Danny died on the 3rd of April last year. So it's still, like, it's only, what, 18 months ago or thereabouts.
Yeah.
How are you? And how's Maria?
It's to be honest, it's a hard one, Ray, to be actually honest about, because what you're expected to say is, great, you're getting through it and it's all good, and, you know, but it's tough. It's and, you know, it's one of those things, time, I don't think, actually helps at all, and in many ways it actually makes it a lot worse. You know, anniversaries come up, different things come up, memories come up. You know, yes, it was very hard. It was Maria's birthday and we're writing a card for him, and, you know, there's a name missing off the card.
Yeah.
So it can be very, very tough. That said, we have to be grateful for, you know, we've learned to be grateful for the smallest things that we have. And you know, what I'm learning is that, you know, we don't focus on what we don't have. We have to look at and be grateful for the things we do. And, you know, we're blessed with Oscar and Gavin, and we had the best of care for Danny, and the charities that helped us through it were incredible. And Daisy Lodge was a great example of that.
And you want to bring a Daisy Lodge to the Republic of Ireland. And I suppose it'll be a great legacy for Danny. And I'm sure already you can see where the plaque is going to be when it's finally done. Like 12.5 million, that's a big chunk of money, isn't it?
It's a huge chunk of money, and I have to put a shout out to Rory McElroy, the Rory Foundation, who he was involved in the one in Newcastle, and I believe he's also been involved in I think in the purchase of the land for Mayo. So you know, there's some big ticket names for people who get behind these things and don't shout out and you know they don't really promote themselves. So they're doing it for all the right reasons. But yeah, that's incredible. But yes, 12.5 million is a massive amount. Hopefully, construction, you know, planning permission has come in. Construction will begin hopefully very soon. It'll be finished in 2023, and it'll more than double the amount of families who will get access to this. You know, we find there's around 400 families every year face this, and they can look after those families. We were very lucky, but we were one of the few who got access to Daisy Lodge, and you know, as I said, we were grateful, but we were one of the lucky ones and a very unfortunate bunch of people who any break at all is massive for them. So, I really think it's an amazing cause.
You're doing a brilliant thing by telling your story and Danny's story in order to highlight this and to raise funds for Daisy Lodge, because it can't be easy, you know, going through that horrificness again. Cancerfundforchildren.ie, cancerfundforchildren.ie, if people want to donate and find out more about Daisy Lodge. And unfortunately, in this country, we don't have the same level of facilities around this as they do in the UK. Like, I'm talking about hospices and respites and all that sort of thing. We need to get our act together on it. But and this is sort of going towards that. How many Daisy Lodges do you know are there in the UK?
I don't know, Ray, to be honest. I don't think there's, again, it's a small handful, if anything. Right, so yeah, it's not something that's enormous. But you know, you're right. It's we need to have something on this side of the border. And Cong is as I'm sure you know, it's the most
beautiful
amazing
part
place
of the country,
in the world. So it really is. We were there last summer with Gavin. But I said, these are real tangible examples of where charity money goes. And I said, it really makes a difference, and it brings a small bit of light in what are very, very dark times for way too many people.
Cancerfundforchildren.ie. Mark and the people in Cong are hoping to build a Daisy Lodge. There are a number of them over, around the UK, one in Newcastle and County Down. This would be the first one in the Republic. They have the land. They hope to begin construction in 2022 and finish it 2023. They need €12.5 million. Listen, Mark, if there's anything we can do along the way, if you're running any fundraising events and you want, you know, a national platform to tell people about them, get back onto us. And thanks for taking time out to talk to us today.
No, thank you, Ray. Thank you for your time.
Mind yourself, Mark. Thank you.
Right, bye. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.